Bird's Eye View is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com. BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
And welcome back to Bird's Eye View. This is your source for a lack of insight and baseless opinion. Today is August 12th, 2013, and this is episode 48. My name is Scott Magnus. I'm here with my color commentator, Jake English, who's back from vacation.
Scott, I'm so happy to see you. I'm so happy to see you.
That's great. Put your shirt back on.
Scott, I'm so happy to see you.
Okay, put your shirt back on.
I just want to love you this week.
All right. You can find us at birdseyeviewbaltimore.com. You won't find too much of us there, but you'll find enough of what you want to read there. You can also now find us at the baltimoresportsreport.com/network. You can find other Orioles podcasts there, and hey, they're kind of funny, just not quite as funny as us. You can also find us at iTunes at birdseyeviewbaltimore.com/iTunes, and you can follow us at other areas of interest such as Miro, Stitcher, Double Twist, etc. I don't even know if those things really exist. I'm just reading them because Jake told me to say them, so I just think they're made up words, really.
Say Miro. Say Miro.
Miro? Is that really?
It's a thing.
Are you sure?
I signed up for it. Our podcast is available. It's there.
I think it's just a practical joke on old people.
I used old Double Twist on my phone. I know that exists.
What does it do?
It plays our show. It's the only show that I have a subscription to on Double Twist.
Okay. Well, if you're listening to us, we have one of those stations or programs or doohickeys, just let us know.
One of those things on the interwebs there pops.
Yeah, exactly. Look, back in the day, we had to wear bread bags on our feet to download Gillian Anderson porn, okay?
All right, move on.
You can also find us at facebook.com/BEVcast. And most importantly, follow us at Twitter at BirdseyeViewBAL. That's BirdseyeViewBAL. So that takes us into the most important part of the week for me, which is the drink of the week. Jake, what is your drink of the week?
I'm drinking a fine German brew.
Really? What kind of German brew?
Oh, it's a craft. No, it's Bud Light.
What?
I'm drinking a Bud Light.
Okay, let me get this straight. You come back from vacation.
Yes.
And for your build-up for getting back together with me and celebrating this monumental occasion, you went out and purchased a Bud Light.
Okay. In my defense, I spent a lot of time last week drinking sangria and having to keep up with the old people in my family.
Orioles Uncensored makes a mean sangria, by the way, people.
Nothing compared to my Uncle Dan. My Uncle Dan can kill people with his sangria.
Is this a white or a red sangria?
It's a red. The white sangria is not a real thing.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
I needed a couple days to...
Now, is there fruit in this red sangria?
Of course.
What kind of fruit are we talking about here?
I know there are apples. There's some oranges. I think there's some other citric fruits, but I'm not really sure.
Any pomegranate in there?
It tasted like wine and goodness. Shh.
Okay. But tonight you're drinking Bud Light because you're a heathen and you have no respect for this podcast.
Basically.
Gotcha. Well, I'm going to upscale a little bit. I'm going with a Dogfish Head. I'm going with a Burton Baton, which is an oaked age Indian pale ale that actually has taste to it as opposed to watery Bud Light.
That beer is freaking awesome.
Yeah. Well, it's also like $4 a bottle, so it better be awesome. All right, so that does it for the drink of the week for what we're drinking, but we need to focus on something we've gotten off topic of, and that is the drunk Gary Thorne. You know, we started off this season saying we're going to find something that is going to be the cocktail or beverage for the drunk Gary Thorne. And we really got an off track. I kind of blame this whole aspect of Orioles winning and people going on vacation. Enough is enough, okay? We're going to find the answer.
Scott,
we're going out there.
Look, I'm sorry I've disappointed you with the Bud Light, and I promise. This is a promise. I can be better. I can change. Scott, I'm going to redouble my efforts. Next week, I will come with a suggestion for the drunk Gary Thorne. All right, you come with a suggestion for the drunk Gary Thorne. I'm sure yours would be better.
Yep.
And listeners out there, we would love to hear what you have to say for the drunk Gary Thorne. You can tweet us. You can Facebook us. You can send us an email at contact@birdseyeviewbaltimore.com. Scott just went through all the other contact information. Let us know what we should be doing. And hey, we'll mix it, we'll drink it, and we'll report back.
Just try to prevent any turtles from being in that cocktail recipe.
Now, if you could pair something nicely with some baked ziti, that'd be great.
That would be great, but that's more of the Jim Hunter cocktail.
I don't know. I got to give it to the spastics on this one. I think the Gin Palmer.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm so pissed I didn't think of that first.
You just need to move past that, okay?
I'm so pissed.
All right. This comes to our next favorite segment, which is...
The Brian Roberts Watch.
That's right. It's the Brian Roberts Watch. Not a great week for Mr. Roberts, all things considering. 2-for-13. Really rough week. The only really redeeming aspect was yesterday's game where he had a triple.
Yeah. Although, did you see him going around second into third?
Yeah. When his helmet came off, I was just like, oh, God! Oh, God!
He looked a little rough. I mean, he was chugging into third. I was like, ooh, old man Roberts.
Let's just say that Prince Fielder looked a little bit more athletic running around to get a triple than Brian Roberts
did. He
did
not look good. And when he turned around second, I was like, oh, he's going to get nailed. But no, he got a triple. Good for Brian Roberts. Look, you know, 2-for-13 is nothing to get excited about. It was, you know, it's kind of a rough week. But, yeah, he's Brian Roberts. He had a good day. A good game on Sunday.
He had a few RBIs. Again, the biggest thing that comes to my knowledge, though, is he's been batting in the eighth hole a lot this week, right in front of a pitcher. If you can pitch around him or, you know, pitch aggressively against him, you have all the opportunity in the world because you don't have to worry about that ninth hole hitter. So if you put him on base, fine. If you, you know, make him strike out on a low fastball or give him some dirt junk, it's not that big of a deal. Again, this just exemplifies why the National League sucks because of not having a good hitter in that ninth hole position.
I love National League ball play. I love it.
Well, I mean, that's fine. You're a socialist. So
I am a socialist. Yeah. I like to think of myself as a traditionalist when it comes to baseball, but I'll take socialist.
Yeah, you're a socialist.
All right, that's fine. Look, Brian Roberts, no great shakes, but at the same time, hey, he's still alive and playing baseball.
I was just thinking about that, actually. I was thinking to myself, holy cow, Brian Roberts is still playing for us.
He is.
So, not great, not terrible.
Hey, the best thing I can say for Brian Roberts is that he's all that stands between us and more frequent appearances by Alexi Casilla.
Or Ryan Flaherty.
Yeah, we're Ryan Flaherty.
Yeah, don't tell me you've gone positive on Ryan Flaherty.
I'm not positive. I'm just more frightened of Alexi Casilla.
Well, okay. That takes us into our next segment, which is the medical wing.
All right, let's just change things up here. I'm going to take a walk down the medical wing.
You go for it.
A couple of things to bring up. First, did you hear about this Bud Norris thing the last time he pitched? He apparently slept funny on his back, and so that was a concern. The trainer rushed out to check on him.
Is he like a side sleeper more times than not, or?
You know, I think that when you suck in the first inning, that immediately gets labeled a slept on your back funny, with air quotes, and that way it's an immediate out for when the press talks to you later. But he said it shouldn't affect him, shouldn't be a problem, the next start, no big deal. Buck said the same thing, so I think it's much ado about nothing. Also in the medical wing, we've got Nolan Reimel, who's still done. Wilson Benamete's in Frederick tonight, batting second.
Yep, supposed to be playing tonight and tomorrow.
That's right, so he is, I think he's close to returning, really.
That's what people keep saying, is that he's close to returning. I'll believe it when I see it. I really think he's going to be one of those 40-man additions once September hits.
Very possible. Very possible. It's just a matter of that clock of how many games he can play down there for his rehab start.
Right. He was tearing it up in the Gulf Coast League, though, which is it's encouraging, at least.
Oh, come on.
Well,
look at his opposition in the Gulf Coast League.
Well, that being said, you look at Nolan Reimel earlier this season when he was doing some rehab, and he was absolutely horrific.
You know what?
In the Gulf Coast League.
I'll bet you that Wilson Benamete would do okay in our pickup softball games, too. Maybe not in the field,
yeah,
but I think at the plate he'd do okay.
I play first, I play second, I play third.
I play fourth out of the field.
Yeah.
Also, in the medical wing, we got to talk about Jason Hammel. Okay, here's the thing about Jason Hammel. I'm starting to feel a little bit like a douche.
Well, it's about time.
You know, they put him on the DL, and I was like, yeah, sure, he's hurt, he sucks.
Yep, Buck and Dan snuck another one by him again. Tendonitis? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, say no more.
Right. Then it turned into, oh, it's a forearm thing. He's like, yeah, sure, it's a forearm thing. Then he talked to Dr. Wilkins. Then he talked to Dr. Andrews.
Uh-oh!
Yeah. So, apparently he experienced a setback after throwing on August 6th and had a cortisone injection in his forearm. And I want to throw this by you. His quote was, he's careful going back to throwing because, quote, the forearm thing is kind of a precursor to the old Tommy John, end quote. That quote scares the crap out of me. I mean, it's not like losing the Jason Hammel that we've seen thus far for the rest of the season is a problem, but if Jason Hammel's performance thus far can be, even in part, explained by an injury, I would love to see the guy that we saw last year come back for a stretch run. Right?
He gone.
Look, when you say Dr. Andrews...
He gone.
That's never a good thing.
I understand this aspect, and, you know, I'd love to see Jason Hammel come back and...
No. I want to see the good Jason
Hammel. Okay, I'd rather see the good Jason Hammel.
I don't want to see this year's version.
But let's be honest with you. It's not going to happen. He's done. I'm sorry. He's done. I think the Orioles already knew this coming into this whole aspect, too, because the fact that they went out and got Bud Norris as well...
Oh, I think that timing was completely... No, I think it was coincidental.
No way.
I think they got Bud Norris because they weren't getting enough out of Jason Hammel anyway.
And I think they knew that deep down inside, they said, oh, he's injured. We know that there's probably something more serious here.
What did they, like, did they put his name in the envelope and then seal it and then put it in a mayonnaise jar and hold it to their head and say, oh, I think he's injured?
You are correct, sir.
Thank you very much for getting that reference. Because, whereas I'm sure all of our listeners are totally blank stare right now, I would have felt even more awkward if you had not picked up on that. So thank you.
What can I say? We're, you know, 30-year-olds, but we're 50-year-olds at heart.
That's right. We are old men trapped in slightly less old men's bodies.
Darn you youngins!
Get off my podcast's lawn.
I can tell the Baltimoreans are just laughing their asses off right now. They're just like, oh, somebody else gets these witty jokes.
So Jason
Hammel. And the Spastics are just like, I don't get it. What are they talking about?
Look, fast forward a season to Arrested Development, you'll get these things. So Jason Hammel is hurt.
Not really. It kind of sucks as a show.
He's really hurt. Ooh. that'll do it for the medical wing. I have to say the Orioles are pretty lucky with the injury bug right now. They haven't really been hit with anything major. Thank you for knocking on wood and also totally knocking over the mic. That's just...
No problem. That's my job.
All right. Something else we wanted to talk about at the top of the show is, Scott, have you heard about this Orioles giveaway shirt competition?
Sure. Well, the Orioles are giving away a shirt on, I think it's September 26th, which is the last Blue Jays game. It's a Thursday night game, and it's right before the Red Sox series for that last series. And it's basically a Thursday night, and they're going to be giving away the shirts to the first 10,000 people.
So I won't get
one. You won't get one, but I will get one.
Right.
And it basically is a fan-designed shirt. So the fans can go out there and design their own T-shirt. And the winning design basically is given out to all the fans.
So this is basically OBP Apparel's game to win, right?
Pretty much.
Is that what I'm hearing here?
Yeah, pretty much. So
Let me understand. Baseball, Orioles baseball, T-shirt design, and they don't expect OBP to win?
Yes. Fools. So anyway, anyone that doesn't know who OBP is, obpapparel.com, go to their website, look at their T-shirt designs. They have some of those great T-shirt designs of Orioles baseball out there right now. They're the innovators of the original Crush Davis T-shirt. Seriously, brilliant guys. You know, sponsors of Orioles Spastics as well.
And Podcast Brethren. They have a podcast.
And Podcast
as well.
Brethren. Just great guys to hang out with. Really creative, really clever. It just feels like the Orioles are challenging them at this point, saying, look, you guys are so brilliant, but we don't want to pay you directly. So we're going to steal your ideas, and we're going to pay you 4 tickets to do this work. So, guys,
we're going to make you think it was your idea to give us this idea.
Congratulations. You're going to do a lot of legwork for $150 worth of tickets. And they're probably not even going to be great tickets.
They'll probably be upper deck tickets.
Yeah, that's $150 worth. So they're going to be decent tickets. They're going to be, like, in the club section and stuff like that. But honestly... you'll gotta get behind some, you know, Canadian fan that's going to be throwing Molsons onto the field. So
probably. Yeah. Or worse, and we'll get to that later.
Yeah.
Look, I had an idea for the T-shirt.
I have a few ideas. So let's go. I had three ideas.
I did not know about this. I only brought one to the table, so now I feel undergunned. Please share with me your first idea.
Okay, so my first idea was, you know, I think all of our ideas come off of this aspect of... hashtags that we've been using through the whole show.
Ooh, I'm liking this already.
Okay, so the one idea I had was in regards to the Brian Roberts watch. So I was thinking...
I'm sorry, hashtag Brian Roberts
watch. Hashtag the Brian Roberts watch. So I was thinking about having an actual watch face with Brian Roberts and his legs being the minute and hour time pointing to a certain thing on the watch face.
Okay. I like the literalness of the Brian Roberts watch.
Yes.
But that's ridiculous and it'll never happen.
Yeah. But it's awesome at the same time.
I hate giving these ideas credence. Please continue.
Well, why don't you do your one is a great idea, so I'm going to let you go with your next one.
All right. So my idea also stems from our podcast, as at least one of you out there will know as our only listener. At the end of the show, we do our good, the bad, and the ugly segment. The good and bad and the ugly is obviously a reference to the movie. And the good, the bad, and the ugly had some kicking posters. And basically what they did was they had three sections. Some of them were vertical. Some of them were horizontal. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And there were, you know, characters, faces, and pictures in there. And a lot of the coloring was actually orange or like a burnt red or something like that, that really fits into the Orioles color scheme. So I was thinking instead of the good, the bad, and the ugly, they could do a stylized image in that style, an homage, if right. you will. And instead of the good, the bad, the ugly, you'd have pitching, defense, and the three-run home run. All right? So pitching,
I like it.
Maybe you have an image of, Chris Tillman. In the panel.
Jim Johnson or something like that.
Right. Maybe in the, defense, you've got Manny Machado. Maybe right. in the three-run home run, you've got
Chris Davis. Yeah.
And on the back of the shirt, just the outline of Earl Weaver.
Well, I was thinking even you could actually do the situation where you could do that on the front, and then on the back you could actually just do a small circle and put the Weaver patch.
Oh, I like that. I like that. Because I do want a subtle.
Because there really is no reference. I mean, I know we've done the Weaver ceremonies and stuff like that, but there really is no piece of memorabilia out there that ceremonies is saying, okay, this is a lasting piece of Earl Weaver memorabilia. I think it'd be really cool to do the whole Earl Weaver number 4 in the back and then do pitching, defense, and the three-run homer.
And I know the Orioles are big on the orange t-shirts giveaway, but I think it'd be cool to have a black t-shirt with the orange Weaver patch on the back with that orange stylized good, bad, the ugly style.
That would be pretty badass.
Now, I'm not a good enough artist to even sketch this out. No. So, I mean, I may talk to the guys over at OBP about this, but I'm also going to throw this out.
My guys would have stick figures, basically. Right. And I'd be like, look, this is Chris Davis because he's got a really big bat, and Manny Machado has a glove, and this is Jim Johnson because I put foo above his head.
Somebody would say, why did your daughter draw this? I'm also going to throw this out to the listeners. If you guys are good with Photoshop, go out there, find a good, the good, the bad, and the ugly poster. Edit that up for pitching defense, the three-run home run. Send that in to us, and we'll put it up. We will definitely push that forward. So I thought about this, Scott. This was actually, I thought it out. Now, what else do you have to bring to the table?
The other one that I had thought of was you just do an orange shirt, and then it just looks like you've spilled your drink all over your shirt, and then on the back it says pound sign, the drunk Gary Thorne.
Okay. I'm liking where this is going. What about just a bunch of noodles on the front and the back, hashtag baked ziti?
Baked ziti's not bad. That's not bad. It's not bad at all.
You know, Scott, I saw somebody reference baked ziti on Twitter today, and it wasn't you. And wow. I was like, wow, that I guess other people really do know what that means.
I can't wait to bring my baked ziti sign back to the yard this Sunday.
Okay. So anyway, the Orioles giveaway t-shirt competition. Again, those are our ideas. One thing I would like to throw out there, again, hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, email the show, contact at birdseyeviewbaltimore.com. Let us know what your ideas are. We promise we won't steal them, but the good ones, we may read on the show just to try to get you some support.
And contact at OBP Apparel as well. Let them know that you heard us on birdseyeviewbaltimore.com, and let them know some of your ideas as well. Heck, I bet if you win, they'll even throw a free t-shirt your way.
Okay, so now you're giving away stuff for OBP. That's awesome.
I'll tell you what, OBP, if you don't feel comfortable with taking an idea from somebody and giving them a shirt, just bill it back to us. I'll pay for it out of my own pocket.
Wow. You're so generous. You just give stuff away, Scott.
Look, when you get drunk, I'm just going to take the $20 out of your pocket.
I like that. Bud Light's going to take me a while to get there.
Well, let's say I'll take care of you another night.
Oh, my. Speaking of giving things away, I think this is a good moment. To do something that we've been waiting for a long time.
I know my wife has.
Yes, she certainly has.
So, for those that don't know, we reached a monumental milestone on Twitter. We reached 250 followers, which at that point I basically said I was going to give away the Wilson Bedemeat signed volleyball from Castaway that I had signed during Orioles Fan Fest. So we have picked a random Twitter follower. They have been messaged. They will be in contact with us this week. If they do not respond, we will cover, draw somebody else. But that individual will receive that volleyball within the upcoming week.
Nice. I like it. You know, when you came to me with the idea of giving away the volleyball, I was like, dude, this is ridiculous. But the more and more I thought about it, I was like, this is actually kind of cool. Yeah. Who else is giving away a volleyball signed by a really injured marginal player like Wilson Bedemeat?
Dude, that thing is going to become a hot commodity come this September when he comes back up.
All right.
Again, we appreciate everyone for following us on Twitter. We're currently at 300 followers now, so
which is ridiculous.
That's pretty ridiculous, yeah. We're going to have another Twitter contest in the upcoming week. It is going to be for another piece of Orioles memorabilia. We'll post a link on the Twitter feed. But get people to follow us. If you're not following us right now, go ahead and follow us, because we're going to pick another random follower once we get to a certain set number, and you'll be eligible for that another piece of Orioles memorabilia.
All right. I like it. And with that, Scott, I'd like to take a quick break, come back, and tell you about some things I saw on vacation.
All right, folks. We'll be right back. Spring will soon be gone. Summer's coming on.
Scott, I went on vacation this week, as you may remember, and we were in Wildwood, New Jersey. And Wildwood, New Jersey,
why?
It's actually an awesome beach.
Okay, sure
if I,
was.
If I can, no, if I can be the tourism department for Wildwood right now, very long
Chris
beach.
Chris Christie?
It's a very long beach, and it's also really, like, quiet waves. Like, it's very easy on the kids. And
so really long beach and really quiet.
Yeah, it's really shallow out for a great distance. Okay. They comb it. They take really good care of it. The boardwalk's really nice.
Why don't you just go to the bay?
Anyway, Wildwood was really nice. But
sure, take your money outside of the state of Maryland and just go spend it in New Jersey.
The thing that I was expecting...
All I'm going to say is there's a reason it got hit with a hurricane, okay?
Jeez. The thing I was expecting was to be...
All those liberals up there.
A stranger in a strange land, lost in Yankees territory, and there was... There was a lot of that. However, there's also a lot of black and orange. And I don't mean the Giants. There were a lot of Oriole fans up there. So I'm walking to the grocery
store. Sure they weren't Bengals fans?
No, I am. I was walking to the grocery store one night, and I was checking the score of the Oriole game. And this old guy runs into me, and he goes, "Oh, another Orioles fan." And he said it just like that. And so I figured he was a Yankees fan, and, you know, I was just one of those Orioles fans. So I, you know, I said something like, "Oh yeah, we're spreading like wildfire," or something really not clever like that. And he goes,
"That's unusual for you."
Right. He goes, "No, bring it in, bring it in." He made me give him a high five, and then he proceeded to tell me all about the last four or five plays from the Orioles because he had just gotten out of the car. It was really like a cool thing that happened. But the other neat thing that happened all week was, you'd run into an Orioles fan, and they'd give you, the nod.
Right.
Or, the signal. You know what I mean? It was very much like the Sting. You know, the old, push-off-the-nose thing? It was really cool, because there were a ton of Orioles fans there, and it was just like the, "Oh, you're in the club. I got you, bud."
Well, I hate to bring up the Baltimoreans again, but it's kind of the same thing like they talked about when they're in New York City. They'll see somebody wearing, a Marquez jersey, and they're just like, "Hey, way to go." So it's kind of like the same thing with you. You're just like, "Yeah."
Yeah, it was
we're really part of that same secret society. Congratulations.
It was really cool. And you can tell the people that have been there a long time and the people that haven't, and it's all about, you know, what apparel are they in? Are they in the Brad Bergeson giveaway t-shirt? You know, do they have an original? Dude, I saw an original All-Star Game cap, which I had one as a kid. I love that hat. But it was just really cool. The other funny thing about Wildwood, by the way, if I can just sidebar for a second, a lot of French Canadians. I mean, a lot of French Canadians. The entirety of Quebec, just all went on vacation
to New Jersey.
To New Jersey. I guess it's like they're Florida. You know?
I guess. Just more reason to bomb that place.
But hilarity, I saw a lot of ridiculous baseball stuff like Boston hat Expos shirt. Yeah, right. Right. Or you know, Expos hat Yankees shirt. I was like, really?
That's really disgusting.
It really was awful. So I was not impressed with Canada. Again.
Again.
But I was very impressed with Birdland. It was a huge outpouring of support. And if I might just pat myself on the back, I wore orange every day of the week.
Well, congratulations. But you're right. Birdland is really representing. I think about back to this West Coast trip that we're currently on in San Diego and San Francisco. And there are a ton of Orioles fans in the stands. You look at that San Diego day game, and the whole third base side was filled with Orioles fans. Now, some of the people had moved down, of course, but there was a ton of Orioles fans there. I realize that it's San Diego and San Francisco. There's tourist destinations, and heck, it's great to go to California just to experience the sights and sounds and experience the great weather. But still, it's great to see Orioles fans traveling and also just coming out and supporting this team. The question I have for you is, do you think people are actually traveling out to see this team and actually traveling with them? Or do you think people are finally saying, you know, we moved out of the Baltimore, D.C. area a few years ago. Let's go out and support the team that we rooted for several years ago.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think that there are a lot of people like me that said, I am absolutely not going to go out and watch the team in away markets if we're just going to get our brains beat in. Like, I'm not signing up for that. Why am I going to go into a hostile environment and get heckled and go and be miserable because my team gets clobbered? Why am I going to sign up for that? And now that the Orioles are somewhat good? Yeah, I think there are a lot of people that are like, you know what? Let's do that. We've always wanted to go to San Diego. Let's go out to San Diego. We'll catch an Oriole game while we're there. It'll be great. And closer places, I absolutely think that there are people who are saying, yeah, sure, let's drive up to New York for the weekend. That'll be great. Or let's go up to Boston. I'd love to go to Boston. And we'll catch a couple of Oriole games. I absolutely do think there's a lot of that. Another thing that's interesting is there's a whole generation of D.C. area folks who the Orioles were their team. And the D.C. area being so transient, I think that...
Like Josh, right?
Right. I think that those people
spreading
across the country has a little bit to do with that. Because, you know, Baltimore doesn't have that great exodus that some cities like... You know, Detroit always travels well.
Right.
But it's also the fact that everybody leaves Detroit.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think that Detroit has a really good fan base, and they always represent themselves well when they come to Baltimore. You're always like, oh, there are a lot of fans here. But I think it's like that, in the fact that, you know, that D.C. area, people leave to go elsewhere. And I think that some of those people in that
contractor base and stuff like that,
right,
yeah.
I think people in that generation are showing up in places like San Francisco and Phoenix and all these other stuff. So I think it's a combination of both. But I don't think it's quote-unquote bandwagoning. I think it's just people that are finally taking advantage of having a good baseball team.
Okay, well, that being said, there is a bit of bandwagoning going on. You look at certain articles out there regarding the business side of things, and the Orioles merchandise sales are up from being 0.8% of the MLB sales to over 2.5% this year. You look at the TV ratings. TV ratings are up by over 30%. The Orioles are either the fifth or sixth best market for local market in all of baseball right now.
Well, I mean, I think it just goes back to the fact that the fan base was just waiting to embrace the team. And that, the desperation that the fan base had gotten to. They were so frustrated because, you know, there's this whole discussion of, is Baltimore a two-sport town? Is it a football town or a baseball town? That's crap. You know, we love the Ravens. The Ravens have been nothing but good to us. The Orioles have been nothing but frustration for the past 15 years prior to 2012. The fans have been waiting for this.
Okay, that's great.
And I think that's what you're seeing.
I understand that, but these are exorbitant gains. The question I would have is, are we seeing a bandwagon effect for the Orioles? Are people jumping on the bandwagon and supporting this team that haven't been supporting this team for years in the past? And also, are people popping on this bandwagon nationwide and saying, oh yeah, I'll root for the Orioles because Buck Showalter is a good guy and I saw him on ESPN and I want to root for his team.
Nah, I think what you'll see is in a national market game, you know, you might see like the Giants and the Orioles on Fox, and you might see, you know, fans from Minnesota say, oh, I'll root for the Orioles. You know, they're an up-and-coming team. They're an underdog. You know, the Giants have won the World Series a couple times in the last few years. Yeah, there might be some of that. But that's like the surface level stuff. I don't think that you're getting, you know, kids from Green Bay buying Orioles gears and becoming Oriole fans because of what you're seeing in 2012, 2013. I think you need a true dynasty to get that kind of following where it doesn't belong. But I question calling fans from the Baltimore area who are coming back to the team bandwagoners because, you know, you and I may not have lost the faith, but I have a difficult time blaming a lot of people who gave up after 15 years.
Right. I mean, I tend to agree with you that I don't think it's this national aspect. There was an article posted in the bizjournals.com for Baltimore regarding the Baltimore Orioles, and it was basically said that the Orioles were the 17th most popular team in all of Major League Baseball. In past years, they've been as high as 8th, and in other years, they've been as low as 22nd. So they're definitely not one of these premier teams that are most popular. I think we all know who the most popular team out there is. We don't need to talk about it. Because they're Satan. But anyway, moving on.
It's the same reason that people liked the Rays a few years ago. It's the same reason that people have an easy time, well, people outside of this market, have an easy time pulling for Pittsburgh.
Right.
It's the same reason that people have an easy time pulling for, like, Cincinnati. You're seeing teams that have had a lot of frustration in the past finally getting to the point where they're good again. I mean, doesn't it warm your heart just a little bit to see a team like Kansas City be relevant again?
No.
That fan base has been through a lot.
No, they haven't.
That fan base, that team has not been relevant since George Brett stormed the plate because of the pine tar incident.
I don't really care. Their whole stadium is built around fountains. That's just dumb.
All right, what about the Oakland Athletics?
No.
That does nothing for you?
No, if I wanted to root for a team that owner goes out and listens to music while driving around in his car, I would do so, but I really don't care to root for a team that has an owner that just drives around in his car.
All right, well, the point is... By the way, great Moneyball reference.
No problem.
The point is, I think any, you know, national swelling of support for the Orioles is very superficial. And I think it has everything to do with the fact that it's a good story. People love underdogs. And people can also appreciate a long-suffering franchise that suddenly, you know, rises from the ashes like we've seen from the Orioles.
I think it's also the aspect, too, that the fan base that is supporting the Orioles is an adamant one. You have a fan base that might be small, but you have a fan base that is willing to go above and beyond and be a diehard fan base, whereas certain other fan bases that support Satan, for example, will wear Satan's cap in order to basically say, hey, Jay-Z wears Satan's cap, so I'm going to wear Satan's cap as well, so they're my favorite team.
Dude, you've turned a little bit into Dana Carvey from the old Church Lady sketches. And could this team be
Satan?
And we've gone to another dark place.
That's
in our
right.
podcast. We've reached, Scott, a new low.
Low. Speaking about SNL. but anyway, I do think that it is a localized, really adamant group. Just look at the amount of podcasts that have come on in the past year. Section 336, I'm looking at you, rookies. You know, people are jumping on and just being vocal now of their support that they've always had for the Orioles, but they're going above and beyond the call. My question is, though, you look at the attendance in the ballpark, and your prediction was that they were going to be over, what, 3 million people?
I may have said something foolish like that.
And there's no way the Orioles are going to be over 3 million people. The question I have is, coming into this upcoming series this weekend against the Colorado Rockies, what kind of turnout are we expecting?
I think the next few series are going to be difficult to predict, and this is why.
This sounds like a cop-out to start, by the way.
No, I think that the Rockies is going to do...
Whenever you start with... Yeah, it's going to be difficult to predict. There's a lot of factors. It's just like, yeah, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, but I'm just setting myself up for failure.
Okay, first of all, that is very clear that I have no idea what I'm talking about, and that has been a staple.
You're really showing off your American University education right now.
Dude, I saw a guy in Wildwood, by the way. I saw a guy in Wildwood with an American University t-shirt.
All the more reason for it to sink into the ocean.
I'm super excited. Anyway.
Was he wearing an Orioles cap?
No.
Was he wearing a Satan's cap?
No. Going back to the...
Go Eagles, go!
Going back to the Rockies series, I think the novelty of the Rockies being a National League club that we don't see very often might inflate what you'd normally see from a series in a team like the Rockies.
Seriously?
I do.
Seriously?
Yeah. Look at the way that we performed with the Mariners in town. Okay?
It was terrible.
It was terrible. I would expect the same from a club like that, but because it's the Rockies, we never see them. You might see a boost. That's what I'm saying.
Can you name me one player on the Rockies right now?
Cargo. Carlos Gonzalez.
Okay.
Troy Tulowitzki.
Okay. congratulations. You have trumped me on this one. You have won this battle.
All right, thank you.
But the war will be mine.
Okay. Moving on from there, the Tampa Bay Rays always draw poorly. And I've never understood this, because they're a good club. It's an important AL East race. But think back to last September. The Orioles had to give away tickets in order to fill the park.
Yeah.
They went back to that throwback pricing during the Tampa Bay series, which I thought was crazy. We were in the middle of a pennant race. It was an
AL by a opponent. Crazy good idea, or else do it again.
But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The Rays have never been a good draw in Baltimore. I mean, hell, they're not a good draw in Tampa Bay.
Correct.
But so I think the next couple series are... It's not really a fair, you know, outlook of how we're doing as a fan base and showing up. Yes, we should sell out every game. I think we should be out there supporting the team. But reasonably, these next two series are kind of outliers.
Okay, I understand that to a certain regard. And, you know, we saw these same outliers last year as well. But come on! It's a new year. The Orioles are supposed to be going out there and getting new people to come in and support this team. And it doesn't seem to be the case. So what's going to happen? I mean, the Orioles have to get more people to come in. What can they do to get more people to come in?
You're asking me?
Yeah.
Well, first,
pull out one of your letters.
First of all, I think the Orioles did a great job with their home run derby giveaway, which was, you know, taking the number of home runs that Chris Davis hit in the home run derby and discounting tickets for the crappy series like Houston and Seattle. I thought that the all-star voting thing, where they were no longer giving away tickets but rather giving away vouchers to the crappy series like the Astros, is a really smart business move. And I think they need to continue to do that. I think if you're the Orioles and you want to boost attendance, what you need to do is you need to go to throwback pricing for crap-ass teams. Or you need to go to some sort of deal in the middle of the week when nobody's showing up anyway.
Okay, I'm going to jump a few series ahead because you didn't want to focus on these series right now.
All right.
I'm going to focus on September really quickly. You've got two home series, one against the Yankees, a four-game series, and one against the Red Sox. What do you do to get people to come into the stadium to support the Orioles and not the other teams?
So let me just rephrase the question. You're asking me what the Orioles need to do between now and September in order to ensure that a lot of Orioles fans show up to the Red Sox and the Yankees series in September, right? You're asking me that?
I am asking you that.
Win. All they got to do is win.
Thanks, Rocky.
No, I'm serious. If they are...
Well, let's do it!
If they're winning... If they're right there with the Red Sox for the AL East, that place is going to be packed, and it's going to be raucous, and it's going to be orange.
So you're basically calling back to the September 6th game of last year, where it was the Orioles and the Yankees, and Orioles fans packed that stadium and cheered on the Orioles, and there were almost no Yankees fans there.
No, that's not fair, because that was the Cal Ripken game.
All right, so we need Ripken to come back.
Yes. We need to unveil some sort of other statue for an Oreo great.
Okay.
But no, I think that with...
So the Glenn Davis statue is going to be unveiled, or what?
Absolutely.
Or the Roberto Alomar statue?
It's going to be a Glenn Davis statue that you can just go up and hit with a bat. No, but if the Orioles want people to pack, you know, paint the park orange, they just need to win. And I really think with, you know, two pennant chases under their belt, people will show up against the Yankees and the Red Sox.
I do have one idea, though,
all right,
for a promotion aspect.
I gotta hear
and it's
it.
Something that should be very obvious to the Orioles. And it comes back to the September 5th game, which, as everyone remembers, is the game against the White Sox. That was supposed to be the home game for the Ravens that got postponed and got sent to play in Denver. I think it'd be a really great idea for the Orioles to have Jonathan Ogden come out for that game and pitch the first pitch.
I got to go back to opening day. I think the Orioles tried really hard to get a member of the Ravens organization to throw out the first pitch. They couldn't get anybody to do it because everyone was unavailable. And so they went with that crap, non-pitch to honor Earl Weaver. I don't think that Ogden will do it out of deference to the Ravens.
Okay.
I think you're right. I'm saying it's not going to happen.
All right. Well.
So there's your bubble.
Popped. Yeah.
All right, anything else with tickets, popularity, and the Orioles fan base?
No, I think I basically have covered it. I guess my aspect is, Orioles fans, you should be going out and supporting this team. You're supporting the team via merchandise, TV, go out there and sit in the stands and support them and cheer them on. It's amazing how much of a difference it was in terms of people cheering on the team during the Mariners series compared to the Red Sox series. Don't let those foreign teams come in and support this team. Cheer on your own team in your own home stadium. That's all I have to say.
I love that message. Hey, let's take a quick break, come back, and talk about something absolutely ridiculous.
All right, we'll be right back. Welcome back. We're going to talk about, something from the glory days from last year. There's been talk about bringing back a key Oriole from last year's playoff run back to the Orioles to solidify this bench.
So you can't be talking about Robert Andino?
We could, but no, we're not talking about Robert Andino.
Elimination Joe Saunders?
Well, he's not really on the bench. He'd be in the bullpen.
All right. You stumped me. Who could we possibly be thinking about?
Well, everyone knows that we're talking about Mark Reynolds.
That is an exasperated sigh. Really? Really? We're talking about Mark Reynolds right now?
Well, he's available. And we need
But I'm available. That doesn't mean the Orioles are going to sign me.
Yeah, to be fair, though, he is a right-handed bat, and the Orioles do need a right-handed bat at this moment.
I'm a right-handed bat?
Yeah, but just like we talked about, Wilson Benamy would kill you. In our softball games.
Wilson Benamy, by the way, even from the right side, would kill Mark Reynolds.
By the way, thanks for having one of those softball games recently. I really appreciate that.
You got it.
Okay.
The thing is about Mark Reynolds is that, look, I was sorry to see him go. He was great in the clubhouse. He was an easy guy to root for. When things were going great, they went great. But that was very occasional. And if you look at the guy's career numbers, the bad far outweighs the good. Far outweighs the good. He is a strikeout machine. And he had a really, really great April, and it made everybody think, oh, well, I guess we should have kept him. But then after that, he's been nothing but suck.
Well, he's definitely been batting right around the Mendoza line for his entire career. It's really just a simple situation of he'll either strike out, he'll walk, or he'll hit a home run. Simple as that. That's all he does.
But unfortunately, it's been more of the strikeout than anything else.
Absolutely. Totally agree with you. For example, last year he had 159 strikeouts, which was actually his career low. But in previous seasons before that, he had 196, 211 the previous season before that, and 223 the year before that.
Dude, he's
part of the way through the season, only at 99 games, he has 123 strikeouts.
He's led the league in strikeouts four separate times.
That's pretty impressive.
Four consecutive years.
It's pretty impressive.
Including one with the Orioles. Look, the thing is about Mark Reynolds, I thought the Orioles were foolish for getting rid of him because they didn't have anything to replace him with. And luckily, Chris Davis has not only solidified himself as a great first baseman, very defensively capable, but also been able to stay on the field for the entire season. And yeah, he does look a little tired here in the late part of the season, so maybe he should have gotten more of a blow here or there. But my complaint was, you don't have a backup plan. Because really, our backup plan right now is Ryan Flaherty. I just want you to focus on the horror that is if Chris Davis gets hurt. Now, right now, yeah, we could go to somebody like Steve Pierce. But for the longest time, it was Ryan Flaherty or nobody else.
Right.
That is an awful situation to be in.
All right, I'm not saying that Mark Reynolds is bad, but I'm also not saying he's good.
I am definitely not saying he's good.
Okay. My question is he better on the bench than Alexi Casilla?
Okay. That is a difficult question, and let me break down why. For a playoff contending team, Alexi Casilla brings certain attributes that are handy.
Which they are?
Speed.
Okay. We saw how well he did on the bases in that Boston series.
Okay. So that's a one good example. Good job.
So he's got speed, but doesn't have very good base running skills.
Okay. So second, he can fill in for a broken down Brian Roberts when he does break, and can also spell other infield positions.
To be fair, Ryan Flaherty would more likely be the person that would be picked.
Absolutely, but if Brian Roberts goes down, you have to have a second middle infielder.
Correct. But it could be someone like, I don't know, Jonathan Scope.
It could be, but that's an unknown commodity. With Alexi Casilla, you might not be
getting much. You're right, Alexi Casilla is a known commodity of suck.
You might not be getting much, but you know what you're getting.
Nothing.
He's also a switch hitting bat.
Zero of zero is still zero.
I'm saying on a good club, he has his role, and right now as the 25th man, he is fulfilling it, sitting on the bench.
All right, well, the Indians have unconditionally released him at this point.
As they should.
My question would be, if the Orioles could offer him a veteran minimum to sign for this team, would you sign him?
In September? Yes.
Okay. Let me ask you this question. If you had to sign him right now, but it was to a AAA contract, would you do so?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So you want him in this organization, you just do not want him on the 25-man roster at this moment.
I can think of no one on the roster that I would kick off the club because of Mark Reynolds.
But you would put him on the 40-man roster?
Yes.
Okay, but you would not put him on the 25-man roster, you put him on the 40-man roster.
That's correct.
All right. Let me throw a few other individuals that have passed through waivers.
They had better, for your sake, be better than Mark Reynolds.
Well, I'm not so sure about that, but I'm going to throw another one at you. Similar vein, what about Adam Dunn?
Ugh. All right, Adam Dunn has raw power. He has raw power that would probably play well in places like Camden Yards and Fenway and the bandbox that is Yankee Stadium. So with the unbalanced schedule and the way we're going to have to play some of these teams down the stretch, maybe Adam Dunn wouldn't be the worst signing, but he's another K machine. I don't feel good about Adam Dunn.
The other aspect with Adam Dunn is he's signed through the next 2 years, so he's actually owed $15 million next season.
Oh yeah. Let's give a zillion dollars to a player who's not very good. We've done that.
That being said, the White Sox would likely eat a huge chunk of that contract.
Okay, I gotta say, there's nobody I would kick off the team for Mark Reynolds. I could see parting with who the hell is Steve Pierce for Adam Dunn. I could see that.
I don't see that personally, but that's just me. I think Steve Pierce has a lot more value than Adam Dunn.
What?
I'm sorry, I just feel that way.
What value does who the hell Steve Pierce have?
WPA.
Okay. All right. Who else is on your magical list here?
All right. This is the one that I think actually is a decent one if the Orioles could actually manage to get him, but it's highly unlikely.
Okay.
Michael Young.
All right. I like Michael Young. I think that's a great name. Here's the problem.
There's a huge problem here.
First, and there's two of them.
Yes.
Maybe three. Okay. First, we are not the Texas Rangers.
Correct.
Secondly, we are not the New York Yankees.
Correct.
Third of all, we're not the Boston Red Sox.
Correct.
I have read that those are the only three teams that he will waive his no-trade clause for.
So he is a Satan worshiper, basically.
Yeah, he is. Well, I mean, I don't give him crap for the Texas thing. He's from Texas. You know, he's from the Texas organization. You know, that's his home. You know, when all is said and done, that's going to be the career, you know, home that he has. I have no problem with him saying, look, if I'm going to go somewhere, it's going to be back to...
You're absolutely right. Texas. I am so glad that he is such an adamant supporter of the Rangers, especially since he played for them last year. And, oh, look at that. Got knocked out of the playoffs by the Baltimore Orioles.
But those other two teams, no, screw him.
I think Michael Young would be a great addition. I just, like you said, I don't see him coming into this organization because he's just going to constantly veto it. He'd be a great addition and could replace Casilla just like that and be a great individual both in the field but also as that DH option.
Yeah, I don't think he'd play much in the field. I think he would be mostly the DH.
Here's my only question to you. He did play under Buck. Do you think Buck might be able to work some magic?
I would like to think so, but at this point, no.
Okay, that's the only...
I think his resolve is too firm on either going to one of those, you know, high-profile cities or back to Texas.
Well, if that's actually the case, then Michael Young, go suck a dick, and let's move on.
All right.
I really don't have anything else to talk about here. Those are the three names that have passed through waivers that are interesting. Josh Johnson's also out there, but he's in the within the division, and Toronto's not going to trade within the division, I don't think.
I
know Josh Johnson is going to not be on the team next year, but I just don't think the Blue Jays want to trade within the division.
I think if the Orioles are going to make a move, it's going to be one of those non-blockbuster, one of those really, you know, calm, collected trades that it happens. You're like, yeah, okay.
You said the same thing before we got Bud Norris, too.
Yes, and Bud Norris, by the way, is nothing to get excited about. We got a fifth starter for LJ Hose and a bunch of other crap.
We got a solid number two, number three starter.
You're so full of crap. That hurts me on so many levels.
We got a solid number two, number three starter.
Yeah. Bud Norris is a number four, number five guy, and that will be his career.
Okay. We can agree to disagree on this one. He's Chris Tillman-esque.
You're stupid. That's me.
Chris Tillman-esque.
Chris Tillman-esque maybe of 2009.
Okay, he's Chris Tillman-esque, people. Jake is wrong, I'm right. Let's move on. Speaking about being wrong and being right, let's go into our next segment. We'll be right back.
Do I have more gloating to do?
I think so.
When it comes to twisting, I just got to keep insisting. Oh, baby, you sure do swing.
When it comes to twisting, I just got to keep insisting on daddy. Hey, you are the king.
Baby, you've got me beat up and down, inside out and across. Oh, yeah.
But in the middle of the night, when the moon is shining bright, you're the boss.
All right, Scott, I have a bit of a confession to make.
Okay.
I thought I lost this week.
So you did poor research again?
I did. I actually put my show notes together before they credited the Orioles for the game
for the,
on Sunday.
The swamping yesterday?
Yeah. So I thought, you know, the tide had started to turn, that you had won a second game in a row. But as it turns out, Jonesy came up with 8 RBI this week. Chris Davis just the 7. So I win again.
Yeah, that 3-run homer in the 9th inning solidified the win for you.
By the way, did you accept my possession arrow position for ties?
That was fine.
Okay.
I'll take that.
I think we should do that, because it occurred to me that we made no plan for what happened with the tie. So I think next time we tie, it'll be me, and then the time after that, it'll be you. But that probably won't happen, because I'll keep kicking your ass. So the score now, by the way, for all of you playing at home, that's 4-1. It's 4-1. And Scott, I'm not the numbers guy.
I'm all about the comeback.
This is not a good showing for a guy who knows the numbers.
Meh, what can I say? The Orioles always go against the numbers, so...
They do. They do indeed. With that being said, it is time to pull out a new mystery category. So, Scott, the new mystery category for this week will be strikeouts by pitcher. Who you got?
Strikeouts by a pitcher. I am going to go with... I'm going to go with Chris Tillman.
Gonna go with Tillman. That is an excellent choice. I myself am torn in a very Natalie Imbruglia way. Part of me wants to go with newcomer Bud Norris, but the rest of me wants to go with Miguel Gonzalez. And so I'm gonna go with the old standard. Had a great game after 2 crappy ones. I'm going with Miguel Gonzalez.
All right. I guess we'll see what happens next week.
As Masson would say, "Who will own it?"
All right, you know what time it is. It's time for our favorite segment.
Oh, it is.
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
All That's right, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly, or, you know, as we might call it, pitching defense in the three-run home run. This week, I'm going to take for my good J.J. Hardy. Hardy has had very quietly a good season, and I say very quietly because of the other contributions that the rest of the offense has had. But look, Hardy had a great week. He hit three home runs, drove in six RBI, and they were significant ones. So my good for this week, J.J. Hardy, a standout among shortstops in the last 2 years as far as power is concerned, the AL starting shortstop for the All-Star game, making good on it.
Yeah, he's also had three home runs this week, which were key. Sunday's home run was a huge one on Sunday, a game that I'm not saying was out of reach, but it solidified the Orioles being on top of that game. And at that point, you knew the Orioles were going to go ahead and take that game and take the series. Huge win for the Orioles. Huge day for J.J. Hardy. Well played, sir. Well played.
All right. Who do you have for your good this week?
My good has to be Adam Jones. 571 average, 565 on base percentage, 905 slugging, 1.47 OPS. He absolutely dominated on the West Coast, especially during the San Diego trip.
You got to love that. And I mean, you broke down the stats. There's no other way to say it. That's good. That is a good week. He's also playing well in the field. Can I just say that? He's doing really well in the field, and we beat the crap out of him for the beginning of the season. I think he's making good plays out there.
Yeah, I mean, you look at his entire season stats. He's batting .304, .332 on base percentage, .519 slugging, and an OPS of .851. He's one home run away from being 25 home runs, and I think he'd only be the sixth Oriole with three seasons of 25 home runs or more.
If it weren't for Chris Davis, he would be an absolute rock star on this team.
Well, he'd be the most valuable Oriole, just like he has been for the past two seasons. So, Adam Jones is quietly doing amazing. But
it's a career year. It's an absolute career year.
But it's a great thing for him to not have to be in the limelight. He can just stay in the background and do what he needs to do.
Absolutely.
If only he could stay out of the limelight.
I'm so glad you used that as a segue, because I was totally going there. Let's talk a little bit about what happened this week.
Are we talking about Bananagate?
Oh, we are talking about Bananagate.
Okay, so for those individuals that don't know, and I don't know why the hell you wouldn't have heard this at this point, an individual in San Francisco threw a banana into center field. Actually somewhere in the outfield. It's not known exactly where it was in correlation to Adam Jones, but there was a banana thrown into the outfield. And Adam Jones posted something on Twitter calling the individual a slapdick and a jackass that had thrown out a banana into the field.
Let me just start off and say slapdick, great term.
Okay.
I'm 100% behind that.
So for those individuals that need an education lesson, bananas are often used in terms with monkeys, and monkeys are oftentimes used in terms of individuals that are African Americans, aka a very racist thing.
So you're saying that this act could be easily construed as a racial commentary?
Either that, or someone thought Adam Jones needed some potassium in his diet.
Okay. Look, clearly, you don't want anything thrown at your players. I mean, this goes back to Nate McLaughlin and the beer in Toronto. You don't want any foreign object on the field being thrown at the players. It's a safety hazard. But you bring this extra component of race into it, and it gets real ugly real quick. I don't want to say, yes, it was racial, no, it wasn't racial. But it didn't look good. It did not look good. And, Scott, we're going to split down the middle here on Adam Jones's response. Can I just go on a tangent for a second?
Go on.
Okay, I have no problem with Adam Jones bringing it up on Twitter, but I gotta be honest, if he hadn't mentioned it, I wouldn't have known about it. So Adam Jones tweeted that it happened, and that invited an outpouring of support, an outpouring of people who said, that's ridiculous, this is not okay. People who were absolutely upset that in 2013 you have something like this that can happen, and that somebody can think that that's an acceptable way to behave. However, it also brings out the other contingent of the population, which have some ugly things to say. But once you put it out there in social media, you have invited both ends of the conversation. That is just the human condition in which we live. And to Adam Jones's credit, he has done so well in connecting with the fans in social media and putting up with their bullshit on Twitter, on Facebook. You know, he does the videos with Madison. He does such a good job of taking the good with the bad that I was a little surprised.
That he couldn't deal with the ugly?
That two tweets later, he said something to the effect of, well, don't be surprised if you see me pull out of social media for this. Here's the thing, Scott. If you're going to bring it up, you cannot say, that's it, I'm going to take my ball and go home. So I've actually got to call Adam Jones out on this one and say, Adam Jones, you're being, and let me try to clean up my language here, a wimp about it. If you're going to bring it up on social media, you have to be big enough to handle the crazies. And frankly, if you're going to leave social media, I'm fine with that. I think it's a mistake. I think you do too damn good a job at it. But if you're going to leave social media, you need to talk to Chris Davis. Chris Davis was tired of hearing the PED talk, and so what did he do? He quietly closed his Twitter account, and he didn't address it until somebody asked him. And his answer was, meh, it just wasn't my thing. He didn't say, I was tired of dealing with the PED talk. I was tired of getting criticized. He didn't go into that. He just said, you know what? I'm moving on. Quiet, collected, mature. And that's not what I saw from Adam Jones's comment. And I love Adam Jones. And I especially love what he does on Twitter and all the efforts to connect to the fans. That's why I was so disappointed and upset with, I'm going to take my ball and go home on Twitter. So, Adam Jones, I'm calling you out. You had a great week in the field, and I'm very sorry that this awful thing happened to you, especially if it is in any way racially motivated. But at the same time, you need to be in better check of yourself on Twitter.
All right. I understand what you're saying and all, but I'm going to step back. I'm going to tell you a story. So everybody, this is Scott's story time, okay?
Oh, wow. Do we have theme music for this?
Scott's story time!
Thank God we don't have a button. Go ahead.
So anyway, once upon a time, there was a boy. And this boy used to listen to a certain radio station.
Oh.
And this boy decided to write a letter to this radio station. And this radio station decided to take this letter and read it on the air. And this individual got very upset that this radio station read it on the air and has held a grudge against this radio station for years upon years to this date because of how immature and unprofessional they are. But that individual started it by sending a letter out to this radio station knowing that this radio station was already immature and they were going to do something stupid like this as it is. So
okay, I'm going to cut you off there.
Okay.
So Scott is telling very poorly the story of myself and WNST. Look, here's the full story. WNST morning show had, this is a million years ago, had one of the council members for the city of Sarasota on, and they were talking to them and they kept basically bashing the Orioles while they had this lady on the phone. And I felt so bad for this lady because they would say something to the effect of, well, they're a terrible organization to work with and they just don't honor their business partners or some crap like that. And then there was a palpable, awkward silence from the person on the other end of the phone. And I thought to myself, even if that's true, these people have to negotiate with the Angelus organization. Like, why would you put them in a position where they have to either agree or disagree with that? That's just crap. So I wrote an email, and in the email I said, look, you know, I'm not trying to beat you up. I don't think you were very fair about that. And I said, you know, and your coverage of the Orioles isn't exactly even. So, you know, on one hand, you complain about, you know, not being treated well by them. But on the other hand, it's just attack, attack, attack. So I got a response back.
So you put a statement and a piece of opinion out on the interwebs.
Yeah. So I got an opinion back from the host, which I responded to with email. His response started with, thanks for the email. Okay. So I sent a note back. And he took that second note and read it on the air. And I only know that because I turned on the station the next morning in the car, and I heard my full name on the radio. And they said, oh, well, I hope this is okay to say. I hope this is okay with Jake English. I hope this makes the Jake English list. And I thought, what the hell is that? And then I realized that they had read my email on the air and then basically mocked me throughout however long it was, from the start of their show to the time I started my car. So I called into the radio station, and I said, hey, I just heard my full name on the air. Like, what's the deal? And the producer, whoever answers the phone, who I could hear practically salivating on the other end said, "Hey, do you want to talk to him on the air?" And I decided, I was like, you know what? No. No, I don't. I don't need this in my life. I hung up the phone. I changed the station. I haven't been back since. But the point was...
So you quit.
But I didn't go in a hissy fit and say, I'm taking my ball and going home. I could have called in or talked to him and been like, you guys suck, and I'm not listening anymore, and I'm not going to do this anymore, because it sucks. But instead, but I just took the high road.
Adam just said, I think this is going to be it for me.
No. The point I'm trying to make is, Adam Jones said, well, don't be surprised if this is the last you see me on social media, and then didn't. Because the thing is, you got to either cut the social media and do it quietly and maturely and move on, or you can't say something like that. My beef with Adam Jones is the fact that he said, oh, that's it, I'm done. Or don't be surprised if I'm done. And then didn't follow it up with anything. And you know what happened then is people were like, no, Adam Jones, please don't leave Twitter. And I'm with him. I don't want him to leave Twitter. But I'd be okay without him doing that.
Just be careful of casting stones in glass houses.
No. Your argument is a poor one, and it is a very thin comparison.
That's fine. I'm going to take whatever argument you have, and I'm going to read it during the next podcast, okay?
That's fine.
Okay.
That's fine. Because I've put myself out there, and now I am available for criticism.
So, everyone, we're taking hate mail for Jake English next week. It'll be read on the segment of hate mail. Send us your hate mail, specifically addressed to Scott, so that I can read it about Jake English, about everything that he is wrong about.
It's the including Jake Hate segment.
Including this awful, awful, awful fantasy boss section. Absolutely horrific. Should be gotten rid of. Let's bring back something that's actually legitimate for this show.
You just don't like it because you're losing.
Moving on! Jake, what's your bad for the week?
My bad for the... I'm so glad that you remembered that we were doing the good, the bad, and the ugly, because that just totally got away from us. But my bad for this week is Matt Wieters. You know, we've done this throughout the season, but Matt Wieters, not so much. In 19 at-bats, he had 4 hits this week. He's batting .211 for the week with 3 strikeouts. He's just not getting it done. Matt Wieters is what we've got to answer after the top of the lineup and Davis. Hardy is really filling that role right now, but it needs to be Wieters. I know somebody who said that Wieters was going to be a top 5 MVP guy, and we're not seeing it. Look, for the Jesus in cleats that he was supposed to be, and for what we've seen this week, it's bad.
I totally agree with you. Wieters definitely had a bad week. He was actually my original pick to pick for bad, but I decided to go with another individual. I decided to go with Brian Roberts. He's allowed to have bad weeks.
He's had a few of them.
He's had a few of them. The man's still trying to get caught up on sleep, I guess, from... you know, not having the baby, although I don't...
Baby Jax.
Yeah, I can't imagine that Baby Jax and Mommy is traveling with them right now. So, Brian Roberts, you're somewhat on notice, but you'll be able to get it back. You know, keep up the aspect of getting those triples, but try to not lose your helmet so much, okay? Thanks, I'd appreciate that. Love ya. Stay healthy.
That's all we ask. Really, that is...
Of course, I call out Brian Roberts... and we're watching it on Monday night, and here he is hitting an RBI double. So, what can I say, Baltimore? I've got a gift.
They do that just to try to make you look like a jerk.
Yeah. No, it doesn't make me look like a jerk. It just makes me think that once I put someone on notice, that the Orioles just respond and just like, you know, Birdside View's calling me out. I'm going to respond. Or else my wife is going to get effed by this other guy.
Whoa. Okay, that's ugly, and so I think that we should take that into our next area.
I mean, she's got a great ass.
And we'll call that
great the ass.
So my ugly for the week...
I bet she's even got a great ass after the baby.
My ugly for the week is totally unfair. I'm just going to call that out right now. My ugly for the week, totally unfair. My ugly for the week is Wei Yin Chen.
That's tough.
It's tough. It's tough love is what it is.
It's tough love, but I understand where you're coming from. You're talking about Sunday's game, right?
I'm talking about Sunday's game.
Oh, it was devastating.
Wei Yin Chen needs to be the stopper.
Yeah.
Okay? We don't have a number one on this club. You can say Tillman all you want, but I will argue it to the teeth.
Well, Chen pitched on Saturday, too.
Chen is the guy that needs to be the stopper. And he took the loss. It was a tough luck loss.
That was Saturday's
game.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
But 3 earned runs in 6 innings.
Well, the same way it was on Sunday as well. He had 3 earned runs, and it was that home run on that Sunday game that gave it up against the Mariners.
Look, it's ugly on one hand because we need him to go out and get those outs for us and to give us those wins. It's also ugly because the Birds didn't come back to support him. That whole Wei-Yin Chen start, to me, ugly. Ugly on both ends, mostly on fate. But for this week, my ugly is Wei-Yin Chen.
Speaking about ugly, one of the big issues I have with Wei-Yin Chen starts are he has no run support coming to him.
Yeah.
One of the key individuals that had played in the past 2 games for Wei-Yin Chen for him has been his catcher, Taylor Teagarden, who is my ugly for the week. I know what some of you are saying. You're saying, how the hell can you go out there and pick Taylor Teagarden as your ugly? He only plays once a week. He can't be your ugly for the week. Oh no, he's ugly. He's so ugly that I blame him solely for last Sunday's loss against the Mariners and this Saturday's loss against the Giants. No, he was okay behind the plate, but at the plate, absolutely horrible. I would rather put... God, I'd rather put Richie Vancell up there to bat than Taylor Teagarden.
So you're saying this? We're not seeing a magical tee time like we did in 2012?
No. I'm ready to overthrow through the tee in the bay, burn it to the ground. Teagarden needs to be gone. I'm done with him.
Well, maybe we can call up that Steve Clevenger guy.
Great. Got to be better.
Chris Snyder?
Look, I'm so desperate.
Hey, you know what? Ryan Flaherty is the emergency third catcher.
I'm actually so desperate now that I'm willing to go to Steve Pearce and saying, Steve Pearce, can you be our backup catcher?
All right, I can see that.
I really can't. I think it's desperate, and there is no way it's going to happen. But Taylor Teagarden, you suck. You are absolutely horrible. Go back to New England. Go take your lip over your head and swallow your head and kill yourself. You are absolutely horrible. You know, if you could go get in a shooting or something like that, or even a bombing, that would be great. I crossed the line.
Whoa, I guess crossed the line.
I just knew it. As soon as I stepped over it, I just knew it.
I was going to let you go until you ran out of breath, but you got even worse than I was expecting.
Yeah, I went there, and then I said, oh, right. See, that's good that I'm stopping myself now.
It takes a lot for you to acknowledge that things have gone to a bad place.
Yeah. I went to a bad place, folks. But Taylor Teagarden, you're on notice. DFA is coming your way unless you ship up or shape out. Shape up or ship out. That's the way it goes.
How about
damn, I'm drunk.
How about turn up?
Can we talk about more bombings?
No. All right, I'm going to do my best to move on from the good, the bad, and the ugly. I wanted to move on to, closing thoughts for this podcast and what we can see next week. You know, we talked a little bit about the upcoming schedule. The Diamondbacks is something we haven't talked about. What do you think about the Diamondbacks series?
They're the Diamondbacks. They play in the National League West. What am I supposed to think about it?
How do you think the O's will do the next 3 games?
They'll win the series.
I certainly hope so. It would be embarrassing if they didn't. If they win the series, I think it's a good road trip. I mean, it's clearly a successful road trip.
3 series wins. That's awesome.
Absolutely.
On the road? On the West Coast?
Absolutely. I just feel like Oriole fans expect perfection or bust.
Well, and I do expect perfection now. Where's my long wins? I mean, the longest wins that we've had so far are, what, 5 wins for the whole season? I want, like, a 12-game winning streak.
Okay. Well, you enjoy that.
Make it happen. You're on notice, Orioles.
So, we're hoping for a Diamondbacks win. Look,
10% alcohol by volume is a lot.
We're going to see... We're going to see the Diamondbacks and the Rockies before the schedule gets heavy. After that, we've got a chance to make progress in a bunch of races. If we manage to stay close during those two series, we're going to get a shot at the Rays, the Athletics, the Red Sox, the Yankees, the Indians. These are teams that are right there in the thick of things, or in the case of the Yankees, who always give us trouble. We're going to make ourselves or break ourselves when it comes to the AL East and the wild card race in those next 5 series.
There was a portion of the season last year, and we called it the gauntlet stretch.
Yeah.
And you basically said you'd be happy coming out of it at 500. I came out saying...
9-6, right? Is that what you called
it? I called 9-6, yeah. And I said, we're going to get 9-6, and you're just like, there is no way in hell we are 9-6.
And they hit 9-6 exactly.
And they hit 9-6 exactly. And I came in, and I think I may have done a mini jog around your living room...
A victory lap?
It was a minor victory lap, and you just shook your head in disgust the whole time. I think you were sipping another Bud Light at that time, which is absolutely disgusting as well.
It certainly wasn't a good beer, that's for sure.
No, it might have been a Bud Light Lime, which was even worse. But yes, the Orioles are in a key stretch period after the Rockies series, where we start to go against some people that are playoff contenders. Win those games, and the Orioles are in great shape to get to the playoffs. Lose those games, and, well, I will be getting a refund for my playoff tickets that I will be purchasing.
Look, you know, we said all year last year, this is the most important stretch of games we've ever had. We're really going to get there. After we get through the Diamondbacks and the Rockies, I think this is the most critical stretch of games.
So, Orioles fans, when you go out to the ballpark, don't just focus on the Red Sox, just don't focus on the Yankees series. Go out there for the Rays series. Go out there for the A's series. These are going to be two huge series for the Orioles for playoff implications. If you're not going out to the series and supporting this team, shame on you. Shame on you.
For those of you that can't see, he's actually whacking.
Shame. He's still whacking. Shame.
All right, Scott, with that, is there anything else that you've got to shame or confess with this week?
No, not right now. I'll come up with something by next week. For shame.
That's what we're looking for. In that case, I think we're going to draw to a close. And for this week, at least, I say to you, Baltimore and beyond, so glad to be back with you.
Good night, Baltimore.